Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey guys, it's Phil here. We're taking a little bit of a break this week, but I wanted to use this opportunity to revisit some of our best discussions and best episodes. You guys might, you know, have not realized it, but it's almost been a year since we started podcasting, and we've been so blessed to have all you guys join us on this journey. We personally started this podcast because we had no sense of identity being Asian Australians. So this podcast has taught us a lot about ourselves, but also we've been really, thankful that we received so many comments and, from you guys telling us that you listen to the show and that it has helped you navigate your own identities. So I think this podcast has been meant a lot to us, but at the same time, we feel so blessed to be sharing this experience with all of you guys. But nevertheless, we've got some amazing interviews and some discussion topics that we've done in the past year. And yeah, hopefully there's more years to come with you guys and, you know, we can keep being Asian together. Well, enjoy this recap, and if you have anything else you want to, get in contact with us with, head over to our Facebook page or Instagram page. Our communication line is always open for suggestions, so yeah, we'll chat to you guys there.
The epicenter of China's killer virus is tonight in lockdown, the city closing its transport network, telling its 11 million people not to leave.
Beijing's authorities have cancelled New Year celebrations this weekend as a precaution as fears about the spread of a deadly new virus grow.
It looks almost post-apocalyptic in Wuhan. The streets are deserted, shops are shut. It is cut off from the rest of the world.
I think you touched on a really, important point. I think we all can agree, growing up in Australia, we all have had our own experiences with casual racism, and we kind of don't know where the line is drawn. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, does this count as like racism or does it not? Because we've grown up with it, we don't know what's across the line. We can't tell the difference between what is racism. And the other day, I recommended a podcast from the New York Times about this reporter who was Chinese, and she was saying how when she was growing up, she thought racism just meant being racist towards black people only. Oh. It never occurred to her that being racist was actually towards Asian people as well, or just any people of color. And I thought, wow, that was very, very insightful, because I think we all can relate. We don't know when the line mm-hmm. is drawn.
I was going to say, I have an example of something. So pretty much like, I remember when I was in primary school, I was having a fight with one of the students in my class, and I think he has like an African background or something like that. But anyway, so we're just like talking and arguing, blah, blah, blah. And he starts throwing out racial slurs at me, calling me Ching Chong and, blah, 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 small eyes, everything that you can imagine that a typical primary school kid will throw out. Yeah. And then I was literally just sitting there really quiet, because I was thinking, okay, I can think of a lot of like racist comments right now, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. But then it got to a point where I said the N-word. I called him the N-word. Yeah. And at that, because I was so young back then, I didn't realize like this
severity of the word.
Yeah, the severity of the word. So I said it, and then he just sat there and he started crying. And I was like, oh, shit, what's going on? Yeah, wow. And then the teacher got involved and he told her what had happened, blah, blah, blah. And then she turned to me and she went off. Like, my teacher went off at me and started yelling at me, blah, 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 saying, how dare you say that word? You should not be saying that word, like those sort of words, blah, blah, blah. And she was like this close to sending me to the principal's office. And I found that really confronting, because I'm like, I just sat there for like 10 to 15 minutes taking in all this verbal racial abuse about Asians. Mm-hmm. I say one word. Okay, yeah, it's a terrible word to say, but then I say one thing and then I cop it. Like I spoke out. I was like, but he was calling me all this Asian racist stuff as well. She's like, you know what she said? She's like, it doesn't matter. She literally said to me, it doesn't matter. Yeah, wow. Her mind was only focused on the N-word that I said.
My goodness. Yeah. That gives me the PTSD. That's exactly like my primary school. Like, it's always whites versus black people, but when the Asians get targeted, the teachers don't do anything about it, which is stupid.
And I think, we had this conversation the other day about, don't get me wrong, it's amazing that we have, Black History Month where we talk about, black history and stuff like that. But then when it comes to Asian history or Asian Appreciation Month, there's no such thing. We have it for every other race, but why not, Asian people as well? Mm-hmm. We already have Harmony Day, but Harmony Day is for everyone, so that doesn't count. And another part of me, I also think it's on us as well. I think as Asian people around the world, we don't speak up when racism does happen.
Just stay quiet. Let it go.
Yeah, and then when we don't speak out about it, people think it's okay to say that sort of thing. And it also sends a message to other Asian people who are experiencing racism and don't know that it's racism, that it's okay to speak up. And I think we just need to be, as a society, to speak up more about what's happening to us. Just like how black people are speaking out very, very vocally about what they're doing. I think the same is to be done with us.
Mm. Let's take a live look now outside.
Ladies and gentlemen of America.
Ariana Grande licked and spit on the merchandise.
There can be 100 people in the room.
Leave Britney alone.
Catch me outside.
Rise and shine.
China.
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 China. But that being said, 10 minutes ago prior to we actually starting this discussion and this topic, I asked my mom, why did you name me Thomas? Like, why didn't you just name me my Chinese name? Like, all your cousins, all your sisters have, Chinese names. How come I got the name Thomas? And she was like, What's wrong with it? Like, I don't understand. And I'm like, oh, I'm just kind of curiosity. And I just kind of had to kind of dive in to see why. And after discussing for about 5-10 minutes, she said to me, actually, I think the reason why I named you Thomas is because white people can't pronounce a Chinese name. And it's very difficult for them to pronounce a Chinese name. So to make life easier for you and for them as well, I gave you the Anglican name Thomas.
Isn't that interesting though? Your mom decided to give you an English name, and my mom as well.
And you were named after a TV?
Okay, side story, before we get into the topic, my dad actually wanted to name me Mohammed.
What?
I think I've told you this several times.
You didn't tell me it was Mohammed?
Yeah, it was Mohammed. And I was actually...
What?
I was speaking to my older sister last night, and she was saying she was the one who convinced him to not name him Mohammed because...
Oh my gosh.
Like, it's just not...
It's nothing wrong with the name Mohammed.
It's just, for a lot of people, Muhammad is a very religious name.
It is.
And my dad has no religious connection to the name Muhammad. So I have no idea where he got the name Muhammad. Must have met a Muhammad in a refugee camp when he was like a refugee. So
it's kind of like the equivalent of your dad once called you Jesus or Jesus.
Yes.
I would be like, whoa, okay.
But long story short, he ended up calling me Philip because we had a Philips TV. So I think at least Philip is... I guess it's easy to explain why my name is Philip and Muhammad to people when growing up. But going back on to what we were talking about, isn't it interesting that how your mom decided to give you an English name? My mom and my dad decided to give me an English name because to make our lives easier in Australia, because they know that having an Asian name is not going to get you far.
And exactly the same thing happens to my cousin as well. She has two names. Her first name, her Chinese name is Yun, Y-U-I-N. Her English name is Melody. So, around us, around our cousins, we were always like, hey, Yun, 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 Yun. But with people around her friends who she's not close with, but with around her Caucasian friends or her white friends or friends who aren't Asian, they call her Melody. And I remember the day when I was hanging, because I was about, I think, 7 years old. She had to babysit me. She was about 15 at the time. And she was hanging with her friends, and I was kind of hanging out with her. And I always called her, hey, Yun, 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 Yun. And then one of her friends called her Melody. And I stopped and I looked at her. I was like, why are they calling you Melody? I thought Yun was your name. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's just a little bit easy for them to pronounce my name because, how hard it is to pronounce Yun. And I was, of course, so young at the time, I didn't realize the impact it would have. And now that I look back on it further, why should we have to accommodate for other people to pronounce our names?
Yeah, and I have a lot of cousins who have moved here from Cambodia. And the first thing they'll move here... the first thing they do when they move here is that they'll change their Cambodian name to an English name, and they'll adopt an English name.
That's so sad.
And it is very sad. And I remember one of my cousins who just moved here recently, he was in class and his teacher was very persistent on him getting an English name.
Wow.
And obviously she didn't say it in a way that's offensive. This guy did. But I think that, yeah, I think just to make her life easier and everyone else in the class easier, instead of having an ethnic name, it would be easier to have an English name. But yeah, like, it's interesting because we know from research that having an ethnic name and when you go to apply for jobs, you're less likely to get a job unless you have a westernized name, because
100%
having an ethnic name, people think that you're immediately can't speak English.
Absolutely. And it kind of decreases your chance of just getting a job, which is unfair. Like, even if you are overqualified or more qualified than people who are your peers, your name could not secure you a job. And now if you look into music and hip hop as well, a lot of Asian culture who embrace that hip hop culture, you look at the top charts in China right now, in Japan, their hip hop culture is massive. The way they dance, the way they look, the way they speak, the way they rap is taken from black culture. And like you said, you can't just take all the great things, and when, you know, black culture does get a hit from everybody else, you can't just piss off. Back to what you were saying though, within Asian culture and racism as well, I do agree that I'm not sure about Cambodia, but Malaysia and Singapore do show a lot of racism to people who are of darker skin color as well.
Yeah, because in Singapore, there's a lot of Chinese people, there's a lot of Malaysians as well, and a lot of Muslim people. And the fairer the skin you are, the more privileged you are in the society.
And but the thing about Malaysia is a little bit different from Singapore, though. People who are Malay in Malaysia, they do have a lot more access to government grants, which is why a lot of the times people who are Chinese, people who aren't Malay, or they call it the land of people of the land, they don't necessarily like them because of the segregation. So it's a bit of like it's polar opposite what's happening. But if you have a look at in Singapore as well, there is a lot of racism towards Indian people, to racism to a lot of Malay people. The Chinese people in Singapore are quite high up in terms of status, which is really, really sad.
And then my family's from Cambodia, so it's only right that I need to give them a shout out about what happens there. And I've been to Cambodia maybe like, I used to go every couple of years when I was younger. And the things that I've noticed in that society is that if you have fair skin, you walk in a shopping center, people will automatically think that you're rich and they will treat you 100% differently to how they'll treat someone that's darker skin. And literally, if you're dark skinned in Cambodia, they call you Akmal, which means literally black person.
And what was it?
Akmal.
Akmal.
Yeah. And that literally means black person. And it's not even a nice way. It's like literally degrading.
Wow.
So if anyone ever calls you that, it's in a very degrading way. It doesn't mean a good thing. And I don't know. There's so many examples of all the racism that exists in Asia, but we don't talk about it because... Is it because we see that it's a black and white thing?
We're afraid to make other people uncomfortable by us calling it out. We're making someone feel uncomfortable towards us. And we're a very passive, you know, race. We're very like, oh, you know, don't look at me, you know. I just want to do my own thing. I just want to live a very long life.